for my rest.
Oh, is it complete in him tonight? Hallelujah, Lord.
While I sit it at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweet boy.
One more time with all your heart. Invite the presence of the Lord tonight. Right down to your pew. Thank you, Lord.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul.
Oh, grant it tonight, Lord. Grant it tonight, Lord.
For my rest is complete.
Just by you.
While I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Praise the Lord tonight. I'd like to get right into the Word. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 7. Everybody happy in the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. It's the only place we find rest is in Christ.
Amen.
But He's always there if we'll just recognize it. That He's always with us. Amen.
Amen.
A couple announcements I'll do after we get done reading the Word. So I'll get you to your seats. I want to start a study on Wednesday nights. Man, we've got our Wednesday night crew. I figured I'd do one on Sunday, one on Wednesday. And everybody can stay right online that way. But I want to do one starting on the Romans 8 message. Romans chapter 8. What is the message of Romans 8? My first part for today is going to be two laws within the believer. Two laws within the believer. Now look, I didn't say unbeliever.
Right.
Okay, the unbeliever's got one law. We'll get to that in a minute. The believer's got two laws. Okay. To really understand Romans 8, I think we need to start back at Romans 7. So turn with me to Romans 7, and we'll start at verse 14. Everybody there say amen?
Amen.
Amen. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Ever been there before? Things I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. The things I know I ought to be doing, that's not what I'm doing. Something wrong somewhere. I got two people fighting, and there's only one guy in the room. And that's me. 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it's good. That if I do what I know is wrong, I know that the law is right. What it said was right. I shouldn't have been doing that. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Praise God. For I know that in me, and he clarifies, in me. Now I'm not talking about the inner man. I'm talking about in the flesh.
Sure.
Said in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. Did he just say that? I think he's trying to make a point here. When us born again believers with the Holy Ghost, you slip up. Look, it ain't you. That ain't the real you. That's the flesh. You need to identify that. That's sin that dwells in my body.
Amen.
That's not an excuse. We'll get to that in a minute. He clears this up for us. 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. I don't think Paul's being humble. I think he meant that. We look at Paul and all the wonderful things God did through him, but he still says, oh, wretched man that I am. I still deal with sin. I wish we'd realize that preachers do too. We go through the same thing all you do. We make the same mistakes. My wife tells me, he said, you should listen to your own sermon sometimes. So I'm going, I'll be condemning myself and saying, Lord, I should be doing this and I ain't doing this. She goes, what did you preach last Sunday? Were you listening? I say, God have mercy. Help us preachers too. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. So who's the real him? The the one that serves the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans 8:1. This is the only verse I'm really going to hit on. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have this little thought prepared, Father, but whatever you'd have to speak to your people, we want that to be said tonight. Lord, I know that you know the hearts of the people, what they have need of. I pray you come speak to us. Lord, let us have perfect faith that you're here to talk to us and to bring us closer to you. We love you. We appreciate you. Bless the reading of the word. Bless the hearing of the word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and bow, or sit, sorry, have your seats. Just a couple announcements real quick. Next Wednesday, I'm planning on having Brother Alexander Bugulis come up and preach. You all should know him pretty well. If you don't, he's a good friend of mine. One that I, actually back when he was in the world and I just got recently converted, I'd probably been serving the Lord maybe a year. We worked at Ponderosa together. And out of the blue one day, he knew the Bible very well. He'll tell you that before he was even converted. He read it a lot. He knew it up here pretty good. And I believe the Lord used that. But he came up to me one day and handed me $50 and said, "You look like you go to a pretty good place. Can you give this to your church?" I said, right there. And that's what I knew. There's something different about this. No sinner comes up to me and hands me $50 and says, "Go give it to your church." Amen. Sure enough, here he is, full of the Holy Ghost, preaching the same gospel that I believe. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Alexander's going to be here next Wednesday, Lord willing. The following Wednesday, I'm going to do something a little bit different because we're going to have our dedication services that weekend. February 15th at 7 o'clock, that's Friday night. So February 15th at Friday, we're going to have a service at 7. Saturday at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a kind of mid-afternoon service on the 18th. And the 19th, we're going to do a dedicational service. Really show why we're having a church, what we're here to do. We're not here to be another denomination. We're not here to be another group that breaks off. We're here to preach the gospel. And I want to go through a service to really set that in order, I suppose. By the way, Brother Josh Tucker, some of you might know him, you might not, but he's a real bosom friend of mine down from Illinois. He's going to be here for Friday and Saturday and preach those services. So, amen. Look forward to that. Oh, I didn't even say it about Wednesday, did I? So Wednesday, what I'm going to do, and this is kind of just something I came to me and I was like, let's try it. I'm going to have an open prayer night in the church. We're not going to have a normal service that Wednesday because we're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I know, you know, things get a little overwhelming. So what we're going to do Wednesday is I'm going to have the church open. I'll be here the whole time, probably back in the office studying or praying. But from 5 to 9, you can come in, come and go as you please. We're going to have the church open. You can come pray for the services that weekend. That's where we're going to dedicate that night to prayer. If you can't get here and you want to pray at home, just dedicate yourself at home. That's all right. Sometimes it's nice to get away. Because it's kind of hard sometimes when you're in your house and you remember, I got to clean that, I got to pick that up later. But when you come to the house of God, you're only here for one reason. Especially if you're only coming to pray. So it kind of helps you to really enter in and focus sometimes, I think. Amen? So that's what we're going to do next. Not next Wednesday. Next Wednesday's Brother Alex, the weekend after, the Wednesday after that. From 5 to 9, you can come. The church will be open to pray for the services that weekend. Okay? Everybody understand that? Amen. If you don't, I got a little calendar I put back there. You can check that out. So for today, two laws within the believer. If we look back at what Paul said in Romans 7, everybody's still there, we can use this. I'm going to be referring to the scripture the whole time. Romans 7, he says, I find the law of sin in me. I find the law of sin, and then I find a law that wants to serve God. I have a law of my mind that desires the things of God, and I have something else in me that hates the things of God, that doesn't want to do the things of God. And I find in myself two laws. Now, does anybody know what a law is? Law is something that you're supposed to be able to put down, and this is the way it goes. Not in America, though. We got loopholes and left everything left and right. The law of God don't work that way. Law of God is, this is the way it is. You better toe it up, buddy, because that's the way it's going to be.
Sure.
You try to go in the presence of God with sin, his law says you're not allowed. You'll be condemned. But if you can go perfect, you'll be accepted.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
I looked up the definition of law, and I want to say this. Definition, it was off a website somewhere. I can find that for you if you need it. A rule of conduct or action, either prescribed or formally recognized as binding or enforced by a controlling authority. So a law is a rule of conduct or action enforced by a controlling authority. Now, we tend to think that Satan's really got some control over this thing, but he really doesn't. There's one controlling authority in the world, and that's Jesus Christ.
Sure.
The Son of God, risen again from the dead. He's the controlling authority, and he has allowed these laws to be in us. Okay? The two laws. Now, I want to start, right? Let's go right down to verse 7. That law of the flesh, the thing that never will desire God, Because what does Romans 8:7 say? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we should not go around trying to take the law of the flesh and convert it.
Right.
That expect that my flesh is going to desire to do things that God wants me to do. It won't. The Bible said the carnal mind cannot be converted. At least in this life.
Right.
Because the carnal mind will be taken away. We're supposed to take on His mind.
Right.
The mind of Christ.
Amen.
Which is the inner man. Sure. The law of the inner man versus the law of the flesh. Amen.
Glory.
Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus Christ.
No.
There's a difference.
Yes.
If I have the faith in somebody, let's say I have faith in Dad that he can play the guitar. That means I can sit back here and go, he's going to be able to play that. I got faith in him. But if I got the faith of James Crussell, I can jump up and play that thing the same way because I got the same faith.
Right.
Amen. So if I have the faith of Jesus Christ, I should be able to live the same life as Christ. Because it's not me that doeth it. It's God in me.
Amen.
The law of God.
Yes.
Now, remember, don't try to convert the law of the flesh now. You need to overcome it.
Right.
You're called to overcome it. God has allowed both those laws to be in the believer.
Sure.
All the way to the rapture. All the way to the end, you always have the law of the flesh. Now, if you're still a sinner, you're not converted, you don't have the Holy Ghost, you've got one law. That's the law of the flesh. You'll do what the flesh says every time.
Right.
I did it for 2 years of my Christian experience when I first started coming to church. I thought I could just do it on my own. I thought I could do what I want. I could go there and read where in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 it says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I thought I could do that and serve God at the same time. Amen? No, sir, you can't do that. You can't serve God and mammon. Didn't we talk about that? How many husbands are there? There's one. You can only be married to Christ.
Amen.
You can't have another lover. Christ won't marry you.
Right.
You're an adulteress.
Right.
And I tried to do that for 2 years. What'd I do? Fail every time. Every time my flesh desired to do something, that's what I was doing. Because I had no inner man. I had no law of God to conquer the law of the flesh. So as a sinner, you're done. You're hopeless. Try it. Try to live a godly life without the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. I dare you. I give it a week. You come back and say, God have mercy, I need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let me find a place of repentance.
Sure.
That's exactly what happened to me. I went through that roller coaster. I remember one night I was praying, saying, God, help me, help me, help me. He's saying, obey my word, obey my word, obey my word. That's all you got to do. Trust God and obey what He said. You don't need to figure these things out. How, oh man, what's God going to do? You know, when I look back now, if I would have married that girl, my goodness, my life would have been hell on earth. I really mean that. It would have been hell coming out of the ground into my life if I would have married that girl. Why? Because I'm a son of God.
Right.
I don't need to be out here with these Moabitess women, just like the children of Israel. Don't yoke with them. Those, you know how many people died when they did that in the book of I think it's Numbers. When Israel united with Moab, 23,000. People died because of that. I think God cared. I think that made a big deal to Him. And it's still New Testament teaching, so I still think it means a big deal to Him when we yoke up with unbelievers.
Right.
And that ain't just relationships now. All the boys want to go out, you know, and just have some fun, right? That's okay. They're cutting up, smoking, drinking, cussing, and doing all that stuff. You don't need to be around that garbage.
That's right.
You can witness to them, sure. If you got to go to work together, that's the place to be. But they want to start partaking in sin, you need to get away from that.
Uh-huh.
You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Don't give place to the law of the flesh. Because, now don't, here's what I'm trying to get at. Don't condemn yourself because your flesh wants to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your flesh will want to entertain lustful thoughts. It will want to joke around about things that are inappropriate. It'll want to watch the wrong TV shows. And in all honesty, is there a good one anymore? I don't know. Good luck. You better hope there ain't no commercials because those are garbage now. All of them filled with sex and trash and a bunch of nonsense.
Amen.
We're called to overcome the law of the flesh. Not to pretend like it's going to disappear, but take it and say, God, greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. I can overcome this thing because You were in me.
Right.
Anybody think, when did Christ not be able to come overcome His flesh? He overcame His flesh every time.
Right.
Because He had the perfect body. Right? A body born without sin, without sex like we were. But he paid the atonement that we could live the same life he did.
Amen.
He's already paid for these things.
Right.
The two laws within the believer now. The law of God versus the law of sin. The law of the flesh. Amen. We're called to overcome this. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. There you go. There's no law of God. Boom. That's it. You live after the flesh, you're going to die. Maybe in the world to come, but he will be right here, that's for sure. You're going to reap a lot of terrible things when you live in the flesh.
Sure.
But if ye, you, not somebody else, don't worry about pointing the finger. I'm not even trying, I don't know why. I'll do this, all right? If me, Andrew Kressel, through the Spirit. So can you do this without the Holy Ghost? No, sir. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again before you can overcome this. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Anybody know what the word mortify means? To kill something. To make it dead. Obliterate it till it's gone. Are you okay? Well, I got it right here. In case I need a drink, I'm all right. See, Mom always watching out. She's got to take care of me all the time. I thought I was a man now, but I guess I'm still need Mom around, just in case. That wasn't the only time Paul said that the Spirit is sent to us to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to kill it. Look at yourself. When you look in the mirror, you got to recognize I'm two people at the same time.
Sure, that's right.
I'm warring against myself.
Uh-huh.
Don't put the battle on nobody else. It doesn't matter what comes your way.
No,
you get to choose which man you listen to.
No.
You know that little, in the comics and stuff, there'd be a little angel here and a little devil on your shoulder. That ain't too far from the truth. The problem is those two guys are right in here.
Uh-huh.
Both of them are inside.
Yep.
Warring against one another. If you're born again now, let me make sure I throw that in there. You ain't born again, that's just the devil guy, and that's it. Everything sounds peachy. Everything sounds good. Sure, steal. Nobody will catch you. God saw it. You'll reap what you sow. God ain't mocked.
Right.
Amen. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. So this is a commandment. Those that receive the Spirit, you're called to mortify the deeds of your flesh.
Sure.
When the flesh says, go do that. Go talk bad about that brother. You say, no sir, flesh. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. You don't have to listen to it. What does Satan do? He makes you think, oh, that was you who had that thought. And what do? You walk around, oh man, I must not be a Christian. I don't even love my brother. Jesus said, if I don't love my brother, I can't love him.
Right.
And what does he do? You're right down that unbelief track and whew, Satan puts you right down the ground. You'll be worthless Christian.
Right.
Because you'll be living so long in condemnation, trying to build yourself back to being a Christian, that you'll never get there. You're not a Christian by works. You're a Christian by faith.
Amen.
Faith through the experience of being born again.
Sure.
You can't just have blind faith that nothing ever happened in your life. There needs to be a change.
Amen.
But if you can put faith that you've been born again in the Spirit of God, you have the power to mortify the deeds of the flesh. The law of God is stronger than the law of the sin, sin of flesh.
Amen.
And it's hard to convince yourself of that because that law of the flesh is pretty strong, especially in the middle of Laodicea. You can't walk over there to McDonald's without getting a temptation on the way. Sin's everywhere.
Amen.
It's all over. But that's why we're called to this age. It's the age of the best, highest overcomers that ever hit the world.
That's right.
Praise God.
Elite Christians. Amen.
Coming out of how can I overcome? That's a little fitting, isn't it? 63. You look back, say, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. Then, no, you're defeated. There you go. Takes all responsibility right off your shoulders. I'm being a Christian. I read my Bible today. I did that. Oh, no, sir, buddy. Who gave you that desire to serve God? Where'd that come from in the first place?
Sure, amen.
You couldn't have faith without God giving you the gift of it. And now what the Bible said, you're saved through grace by earth. How's that go? I know. Oh, I hate when that happens. Now, if you know it, you can tell me, all right? I ain't got no pride about it. I forget scriptures. If you say, bro, man, it's just eking at me. No, I just want to say this. Go ahead. That'll save me some time. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
The fact that we can even have faith is a gift.
Sure.
How come some people hear this Bible every day of their life, hear the prophet's message every day of their life, and it never changes their life? They're not hearing it. They don't have that gift of faith there because it should respond. If a seed has life And you put it in the right atmosphere, life should come out of it.
Amen.
You put it in the ground and there's water and sun, it should come up.
Right.
That's the law of God. And God's laws happen.
Amen.
But if you're putting water on that, putting a bunch of sun, you know, spending time in the Word, prayer and stuff, and nothing's happening, woo, I don't know if I have life. Something should be springing out of me.
Right.
A well of living water, as Jesus said, that you can give it to others.
Amen.
That they recognize that Christ is life in you.
Yes.
They say, oh, I don't know if Jesus is raised from the dead, but I know that means a Christian.
Uh-huh.
I saw Christ in that brother. Right. In that brother. Amen. That's the way we should be. Overcoming. Not by yourself, as we just read. You try to do it yourself, you're defeated. You're already done. Brother Branham says, right there in the scripture I took. But there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus that walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then you realize that you've overcome. Huh. When I recognize that I'm not doing this or that, then I've overcome.
Glory. Amen.
Let's watch this. And you know that he's a devil. You can't say, I got a sickness and I don't believe it is a sickness. Oh, yes, it's a sickness. You got a cancer, say, or you don't believe it is a cancer. It is a cancer. It is a cancer. But remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You must realize that the Holy Spirit that's in you has already overcome this thing.
Amen.
And he's in you, and you can overcome by him.
Amen.
That's exactly sensible, exactly the way the scripture was written. Overcoming.
Facts. Amen.
How's overcoming? Christ, you have to overcome this thing. I can't do it. I remember one time Noel Johnson, everybody know Brother Noel, he's a good old brother, goes to India a lot of times. He said one of his girls was talking to some boy, I don't remember, he was real worldly though, Mohawk and all this stuff or something. I just remember that's what I pictured in my mind when he started describing it. And he said he looked at that boy and goes, Lord, I can't love that boy. I can't do it. He's talking about, I can't do it. But can you love him through me? You see the difference. He was willing to separate that law of the flesh, which says that boy's a sinner. I don't want nothing to do with him.
Right.
How many times does Christians do that? I'm holy.
Uh-huh.
I got the Holy Ghost. If the devil can't keep you, he'll push you.
Right.
If he can't keep you from the Holy Ghost, he'll make you think you're something you ain't.
Right.
Look, we're saved by grace. Amazing grace.
Amen.
I know my list of sin. I know my book of life that was filled with all the trash that I had done. God took that by grace and threw it in the sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
I accepted that.
Yes.
That's the only reason I'm saved.
Amen.
And we need to present that to others the same way. You ever recognize that sometimes we want to witness to the half-Christians, but not the sinners? You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, they wear skirts and have long hair there. Maybe I can go witness to them. That person probably got the religious devil you're never going to get off. Amen. That's the worst demon you can have now is a religious spirit. Where you go through motions of being a Christian without any life.
Uh-huh.
It must be because you have received his life and you love him.
Amen.
That's why you serve God.
Yes.
Don't serve for no reason. Don't serve because you're afraid to go to hell.
Amen.
If that's his will, I say, Lord, so be it. Because you have to really fall in love.
Amen.
Amen. We're called to overcome this. And I read that scripture a minute ago. Paul said it too. No, you... 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain.
Amen.
Act like you're the only guy that's going to make it.
Yeah, that's it. Amen.
You're the only one. You're the only Christian in defiance. How are you going to get there? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Yes.
And that spirit's in me. Who am I trying to overcome? Andrew Kressel. That's who I'm trying to overcome. I'm not trying to overcome Brother Gary. Brother John, I'm not trying to overcome them. I don't need to overcome their flesh. I need to overcome my flesh.
Amen.
The love for me will give that brother grace just as much as he would give it to me.
Sure.
Amen. It is the rising of the sun. 65. No wonder he said, fear not. For now notice, we are redeemed by him and now risen with him. That's what Easter means to the people. Risen with him. Notice. Now we have his spirit in us. The abstract deed fully paid. It's settled. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you're in the body, sealed to the day of your redemption. Now you don't say, well, I hope I make it. You've already made it.
Amen.
Not, I will make it. I've already made it.
Amen.
I never made it. He made it for me, see?
Yes.
Not me, him. Where Brother Branham, they say, I don't care what they say. There, he made it for me. That's all I want. That's all I'm caring about. I just want to see him manifested. How do you do it? Call him down? No. He's in you.
Yes, amen.
He's in you. The overcomer is in you.
Amen.
How many times do we get into sin and we think, oh man, I got to go pray up 4 hours. Whoa, where's the overcomer?
Right.
I don't need to go find you. Jesus, where are you? You on a boat somewhere? Did you go up in the clouds? He's right here.
Amen.
Talk to him about it.
Right.
Repent. It's that easy. You say, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. He knows. He ain't stupid. People say, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. You better hope there's no evil in there. You can't pull one on God. Even the devil don't know your heart. He don't know why you do what you do. And really, sometimes we don't know why we do what we do. But there's one that does. And that's God. And that's what he cares about. He cares why you're doing what you're doing.
Sure.
Are you at church because you feel bad if you stay home?
No.
Not a good reason to go, is it? No. You should go because you love the Lord.
Yes.
And he said that when we see the end coming, we should come together that much more. Because it's easy to have church with people that you know.
Sure.
Oh, I know how sister so-and-so says, amen. I'm okay with that. Praise God. You know, we don't get all those little funny feelings and all those little thoughts that we come up with. That needs to go out the window. That's that flesh trying to talk, keep us from getting into in the spirit of things. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Why? You have the law of the flesh. He knew that. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now look, he ain't even dead yet. He didn't even go to the cross yet. Why did he know that? Because in God's mind, before the foundation of the world, he already paid it.
Amen.
How do you think those Old Testament saints could do what they did? The atonement in God's mind was always there.
Yes.
They used that lamb to enter into what was coming.
Right.
And that's why Joshua could say, son, stand still. Moses could throw his stick down and Red Sea separates.
Right.
Creators. Because where was he? It was God in Moses.
Amen.
It was God in Joshua. The same God that was in them is in us.
Amen.
If you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what are we afraid about? Uh-huh. Fear not. He's already overcome the earth.
Amen.
And we're looking back. He actually did it. Physically. Manifested. Dying on the cross. Raising from the dead. And where were we when he did all that? I was in him.
Amen.
Glory to God. If I was in him, how can I be lost?
No way.
You can't. But what has God called us to do? Whip the devil. Take him out.
Right.
Where's that old devil going to work through? Your flesh. Sure. Every time. The law of the flesh is you before you're converted. That's why it's so hard to detach yourself from it. Because you remember. Lord, I remember what I was back in the world. I'm still that. No. Detach yourself from that. You have to recognize that the blood has completely separated you from sin.
That's exactly right.
Completely. Amen. To the point where Paul could say, even when I sin, this body sin, it isn't I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Are you getting it? That separation between you and you
right.
is how you overcome. Without that, you'll never overcome. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Who? Who's the old man? Andrew Kressel. Who's the new man? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God. I believe it. The former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Which means renew the thoughts of God in your mind all the time.
Right.
I'm not a sinner. I've been saved by
That's
grace.
That's right.
There's no sinner saints.
Nope.
There's no saint sinners either. You're either one or the other. You're either a saint or you're a child of the devil.
Saint. Amen.
Amen. That's right. You've got to say that. You got to believe it. Whoa, I messed up. No, that ain't me. That was sin that dwelled in me. That's sin that does that. That's that law of the flesh, and I'm called to overcome it.
Right.
How the Lord puts things together. Coming out of separation from unbelief. Where's that? Right here. This flesh is the unbelief we should be separating from.
Right. Amen.
55. Take you out there and put some embalming fluid in you and take all the God that was ever in you out and learn your theology. Why? You can't know God by knowledge. It's impossible. You, by grace are you saved, and that through faith. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way you know him. Not by all your shrewd words. That takes you away from God. More you know, more you study and try to figure out about it, the less you know.
Amen.
If I sat here and did a 50-page report on the autonomy of my wife and what she does at every minute of the day, how many eyelashes she has, all this stuff, how much do I know about her? As far as relationship goes, nothing. It's become a dead, formal relationship.
Right.
What do you think happens between us and God? We sit here and try to, oh man, this scripture's got to line up with that. And I don't understand this just right. And I got to figure all this out. I really got to dig in there. No. You need to learn God like you would your husband or your wife. A relationship. How do you get, and you can spend quality time with somebody, but not quantity time.
Sure.
And it don't mean a whole lot. Especially to women. Especially to women. Guy, I can see my wife for an hour. If it's real good time, all right. You know, I'm okay. Not her. No, no sir, buddy. She wants me to be around every chance possible. How shall we be to Christ?
Amen.
My, I don't want to grieve his presence ever. God have mercy when I know I have. I say, Jesus, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I didn't mean to. I just love him that much. Amen. I want to know him by relationship. You've got to spend time with him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, the prayer's only good when I'm, you know, I'm really broke through. Maybe you got to get down there and just spend time. Maybe we go out, me and my wife go out some fancy dinner. Think she wants to do it every day? No, some days we just want to sit on the couch together. Talk with Dawson, let him read his book or something. Just spend time together. It's the same thing with our relationship with God.
Amen.
That is what he desired. That's why he created us.
Right.
Because Adam was lonely. He knew he needed to help me, so he created Eve so he could have fellowship. Physical fellowship, not even just spiritual. He wants to spend time with us.
Amen.
Amen. And it is a sacrifice. You have to come to the law of the flesh.
Right.
I'm getting so far ahead of myself. I can hear Brother Branham saying things I'm going to read here in a minute. All your short words take you more away from it the less you know. Quit studying to figure it out. Just let loose and believe. Yep. God, you said I believe. Woo! Lay my hands on sick. They're going to get well. Oh, but you know, do I have to do it like this or like this? You know how we think stuff. We had all kinds of dogmas and creeds and stuff. Oh, he only prayed 5 seconds because God didn't hear him. Or, man, that was such an awesome prayer. God must have heard him. No, let loose and believe.
Amen.
Yeah, the Bible sounds pretty radical. I'm a complete, perfect, no sin in my life. What?
Amen.
Wait, I just know what I did yesterday. Whoa, what are you looking at? That ain't what the Bible said. He said he'd have a church without spot or wrinkle. I identify with that. I let loose and believe it. I don't need to earn signs from God. I just need to let loose and do what he said. He said, go lay hands on the sick. Don't recover. He said, cast out demons. He didn't say, get enough faith, blah, blah, do all this and pray through and believe what he said. He said, we cast out demons.
Don't let
these signs fall in that belief. They will happen.
They just do.
I watch it all the time. I just put another one up. Kyle knows this. I put another one in my room. There was a student. Came to me and started getting this growth on his ear. None of us know what it was. No clue. He don't even know. And it was before Christmas break. And he kind of egged on me a little while. And I tend to have a little patience with kids because they like to just, you know, boom, boom. You know how this age is. Nobody's got any patience no more. But eventually I felt, okay, you're going to give the glory to Jesus Christ? I'll do this. Because I believe it that much.
Right.
That if I really do, as far as I can, you know, I can just put my hands on somebody, but if I don't have no faith, I'm just patting him on the back. That don't mean nothing. But if I know what I'm doing it for, this guy's got a growth. The Bible says if I lay hands on him, you get well. So I did that intentionally. The last day before break, I believe it was, or somewhere around there. Don't quote me on that. But went, just laid hand on him. And said, Lord Jesus, I believe you'll heal him. Over the break, I don't have his number, but I have a friend of his. So I asked him and said, hey, he asked me, tell me how Garrett's doing. He sent back, and it just blessed my heart too. He sent back and said, Garrett said it's getting smaller. I sent back and said, make sure you tell him, keep believing. So don't doubt it now. Don't bring anything back. And he said, I already did that. Glory. That makes me feel good. You know what? Yeah, I want to be able to do it. I want to see signs follow me, but I'd like to be able to help somebody else get some signs following them too.
Right.
Be able to tell other people. Because I only can affect so much. But if I can, you know, infiltrate, it's kind of like a good disease, right? If I can infiltrate other souls, they can go infiltrate others. And then we can get this gospel spread like it's supposed to.
Right.
Not just us four no more, wherever it'll go.
Right.
Whoever will believe. Let loose and believe.
Amen.
Coming out of the same one. Separation from unbelief. I used to preach over in the Baptist church a little sermon. I called it Let Loose and Let God. That's right. Just let loose and let God. And as long as you got yourself into it, can I just add that? You put the carnal mind in there. that you're doing this, some out of some self-desire or whatever. No, if, as long as you got yourself into it, there ain't no way. You know who the biggest enemy I got? It's William Branham. And he's always in God's way. If I can just get him out of the way, then God can go to work. Yes, that's your worst enemy is yourself. Yeah. You just get yourself out of the way, and then God can go to work. He don't even just put it there against yourself. Now watch this. He says, now be careful who your associates when you get out there and get among the people. And this one begins to tell you this and this one that. Then you get yourself all mixed up. You don't know what to believe. Why? Because people don't get their experience themselves.
Right.
They get secondhand experiences.
Sure.
Don't get no experience from me. You need experience yourself. I don't care if God uses me, but don't come to me for what kind of cereal am I supposed to buy? What's thus saith the Lord? I don't know. Okay, I don't. Brother, should I get this car or not? Should we get groceries this? I don't know. All I know is what the Word says about these things, right? Amen. And it don't concern me with that. Now, I tell you, you're out there running sin, and I'll tell you, no, you need to quit that. You need to, you know, get right with God and start serving Him.
Sure, amen.
Amen. But you need to have your own experience with Him, that God is in you. So you don't need to go find all these associates. He's already in you.
Amen.
Don't need to find Him. The law of God. Let's turn to this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You enjoying this tonight? Praise God. Two laws within the believer. A little lengthy reading, but I want to think this is important. 1 Corinthians 2. We'll start at the first verse. Amen. If you're there, say amen, please.
Amen.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined, like this was his goal, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's the real preacher right there.
Amen.
I hope my words aren't just enticing words of man's wisdom. I hope you recognize this is the Spirit and power, that he's the same. These signs follow them that believe. And that's what I want this ministry to be, not me, Christ, doing the same things he always did. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Every one of us, our faith should be in the power of God. Now look, he acts like, you know, came with all these fancy words and all this mind. That's the wisdom of the world. That's the flesh law. That's the law he's dying to and trying to crucify. But look what he says in verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. So where's this directed to? Right to the church? Those that are perfect. Those that are in Christ. He's recognizing, you're perfect. Amen. And I'm here to bring you some wisdom.
Amen.
Real wisdom. Not that worldly stuff. My relationship with God. Saved to know nothing but Jesus Christ. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto... Wait. God's glory? What's that say there?
Our glory.
Our glory. Why? What's the great mystery? Christ and the bride being one.
Sure.
Why? Because his glory is our glory.
Amen.
Because we're part of him.
Right.
It's not taking glory for God. It's being a part of him.
Amen.
Being his rib. Come out. That's why we have his glory. Amen. Praise God. God won't share his glory with no one. Amen? Just with himself. So you have to be a part of him.
Right.
That should make it settled in your mind. Amen. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because if he don't get crucified, we're all lost.
Right.
We're not redeemed. So there's no way they understood this mystery that it was Christ and the bride. They thought it was maybe Christ. So we didn't take him out. If we take out Christ, he's the fullness of Godhead body. We'll destroy the works of God.
Right.
Oh, wait. There's another person. Oh, he came to die for them. That was the mystery? Christ came to redeem himself? Woo!
That's good.
Not himself. Like, you understand what I'm saying? His attribute that was in us. Amen. Verse 9. But as is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. Now look, some people stop right there. Oh, we never know these things. What's verse 10 say? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Amen.
For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. People afraid of the deep things. And Paul says, that's freely given. That's what's given to us. Verse 11, for what knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You have to have the Holy Ghost. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Wow. You don't work it up. You're entitled to it.
Amen.
Right? My grandfather passed away. He had a bunch of proper, whatever, I don't know exactly what he, yeah, I guess he did have property, that's right. When he died, it went to my dad and my uncle. Why? They're entitled to it. What did they do to earn it? They have some good works or something to present to him? No, I'm his son. That's why I'm entitled to it. Why am I entitled to heaven? Why am I entitled to glory? Whose son am I?
Who? Yes.
Woo! You have to know who you are.
Yes.
I am a child of the King.
Yes.
What was the Holy Ghost given? As a witness to us that we're the children of God. That our spirit bears witness with His spirit that we are the children of God.
Yes.
If you don't have that, you'll never overcome.
Amen.
Because you'll try to do by works and you'll fail. Amen. Why? Verse 13 to 16 is where I'm going to finish this. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See what happens when you get somebody carnal? They're not going to understand it. They're not comparing spiritual with spiritual. They said, oh, you preached against me because you don't like me. Whoa. I'm coming with you spiritual, and you're saying I'm being carnal about this. No. I preached against sin because the Word told us to. Because that sin will kill you.
Amen.
Remember, if you walk after the flesh, you'll die. That's what, you see, the spiritual mind comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now, if you come down to carnal, and you're up here spiritual, don't you come down here and fight on carnal either. That's where you get those, you know, not throwing punches, but throwing a lot of words around. We don't need none of that foolishness.
Right.
Compare spiritual with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who knows God's mind that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
The law of God. The mind of Christ is in the believer. Yeah. It's in the church. You have to know that, and not just know it intellectually, but by experience.
Right.
That when I take the word and it comes off my lips, God will honor it. Because I'm his son.
Yes.
Because I'm his bride.
Amen.
Amen. That's the only way you can overcome the law of the flesh.
Amen.
Is by the law of God. Coming out of questions and answers 59. Now the law of sin and death works in your flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. So your heart says, your spirit and your heart will make your body obey what it says do. That's exactly right. Now that's what Paul said. Always the flesh. I'm too tired. I'm unable. I'm not sufficient. I cannot do it. He wasn't saying you're being humble. He's saying you're letting the flesh take over.
Amen.
All right. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can't do it. I said to Dolores, or somebody that's been talking to me about the Holy Ghost, about something or other like that. I said, what? Dolores, it was, what made me feel that way just at the time that I should have felt good? You ever had that happen in church? Man, I should be happy right now. And depression starts hitting you. And you go, why am I feeling this way? Why am I getting upset about something? You know, why can't I ever think about church? Why am I thinking about work right now? Nope. It's a pretty easy answer. I hope you're ready for this. I said, the devil.
Yeah, amen.
It's the devil, okay? That's how he fights you. I said the devil. He's seeing you just ready to receive it. He said, I'll put a little damper on her. Fan her a little bit, you know, kind of cool down a little bit. See, but oh, that's when you rise. Claim your God-given rights. That's what Paul was meaning. See, always, when he said, when I do good, evil is present. So you got to know when you're trying to do the things of God, Satan's coming.
Sure.
I remember one time I had God showed me something this it was cool about that track. You remember that, Kyle? He came to me and showed me that track. What's the first thing I said? He was gonna race on Sunday. That's what it was. And he showed me the track he was gonna race on. What's the first thing the devil said? He said, you didn't see nothing. You're just imagining things. I said, no, sir, I saw it. I can tell you what it looks like. So what I do? I had to say something. I said, I texted him. I said, "You be careful racing on Sunday. I believe the Lord's trying to warn you." And right there again, here it comes. "Oh, you're just being a fanatic. It's not going to happen. He's going to doubt everything you say." Right? That's what we think. That's what the devil does. He comes right when you do something. Sure. Lay hands on you and say, "You're going to get well." What's the first thing he says? "No, you ain't. Mm-hmm. You're sick. I got you. Don't matter what you do. You don't deserve to be healed." Amen. That's why I received by grace. Sure enough, Sunday came. He went to the race still, but he said, "I ain't never prayed so much in my life." And he said that whole race, he said he was praying, because he's a pretty good dirt biker guy, and he's praying the whole time. And I guess at one point in the race, he said that him and this guy went up, and they hit mid-air, hit one another. And he said they both just came down like nothing happened.
Wow.
He said, "Thank you for warning me." That's what he told me. And then we were having a Bible study, and he told me his side of the story, and I said, "I want to ask you one question though, real quick." He's like, "Yeah, well, go ahead." I said, "Are there two bends on that track right away?" Kyle was there. What happened? His jaw, it took him a few minutes. His jaw about hit the ground. He's like, "I was just curious." He's like, "No, tell me. What?" Yeah, I was like, "Yeah, I saw it. I saw it before it happened." See, we can't be afraid. We can't say, "I'm not good enough to see these things. I'm not a prophet." Whoa, you son of God.
Yeah.
God speaks to you.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Are you listening is the problem.
Right.
God will speak to you every day of your life. Even sinners God speaks to, their conscience tells them, "Don't lie, don't steal, don't cuss, don't do these things." And what do? They just blow it off. "Oh, that's just me." No, it's God trying to get to you. You want to know how to know what you're supposed to do? Put a little child in front of you and see how you act.
Uh-huh.
Put him in front of a sinner. Put him in front of the dirtiest, muckiest, sailor mouth guy you can find. Put a little 2-year-old in front of him. They go to cuss, what are they going to do? They're going to go, "I shouldn't do that." Yeah. What's the difference? He's just some little kid. He don't even know what you're saying.
Right.
Because they see the innocence that we should be.
Wow.
That's what it is. Because a child he don't have no desire of sin. He just inherently will do things wrong because that's just the fallen creation.
Right.
But his desire is not to do wrong. It's when they sear that desire that God, the conscience gets seared, and then all they want to do is evil. They think evil is right.
Right.
Remember, that's what the Bible said. They'd be so seared, they think the way of right is wrong, and the way of wrong is right. Instead of yielding to the law of God, they've just said, "I quit, I can't do that, I have to live the law of the flesh, this must be the way it's supposed to be. I just have to lie." You know people like that? "Oh, I can't help it, you know, I'm just this way. You know, I just have to cuss, I can't get over it." Yeah, that's the point. You need the law of God.
Amen.
You need God in you. He's already overcome that.
Amen.
Am I preaching to the choir tonight? Because I feel like it. We know these things. The Bible says this. 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, or of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices." We shouldn't be anyways. We should know how the devil fights us.
Amen.
Don't be surprised that he attacks you the same way that he gets you. Because he knows. He knows you. He knows what gets your buttons. What do you got to do? Overcome it.
Amen.
Tell Satan, "No, I'm not doing that. Not in your strength. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
That's who I identify with. I am not Andrew Kressel. Andrew Kressel died on the cross with Christ.
Amen.
And I rose again. Jesus Christ. I took on his name.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
That's who I identify with.
Amen.
So when I come to God, I don't come and present myself. I present the Holy Ghost that he gave me. I present the Word back to the Word. That's what the token said. He said, problem is when we go to pray, we don't present the Holy Ghost. We present ourselves or our works or our condemnation, trying to get forgiveness.
Right.
Don't do that. Present Christ. Say, "Lord, you saved me.
Amen.
You came to me when I was a sinner and brought me out of that.
Amen.
You're the one that changed me from death unto life. And I accepted it."
Yes.
I'm free in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have to succumb to this flesh. I don't have to listen to what it says. I can worship God free of condemnation. How are you going to overcome the law of the flesh? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation. You messed up. You need to say that again. There is now. I know what I did 5 seconds ago, but now there is no condemnation. None. It was eradicated on the cross. It's the only way you'll defeat Satan is to recognize he paid all your sins off.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And you are spotless before him. You are in him. He cannot deny himself. How many times do we do that? We isolate Christ out there. He can't deny himself. Well, of course, but who are you? You're a part of him. He can't deny himself. I can't deny that little boy. He's got my life in him. He's mine. Go take a DNA test. It'll prove it he's mine. Take a spiritual DNA test. Where did that seed of God come from? God, whose life do you have? His. And he can't deny himself.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to try to wrap it up. I got to read this one, though. This is your life worthy of the gospel? 63. What if I was giving away capsules here that scientifically proven that this capsule would make you live 1,000 years? Well, I'd have to get a militia out here and swarm them people away from the place. You wouldn't have to make an altar call for it. You just have to beat them away to it to live 1,000 years. And yet, scientifically proven that the eternal God, all his power of his resurrections, which promised you eternal life, and Satan will put his legions out there. Okay? So we think drinking, smoking, his legions. What? Okay, now watch. He'll put his legions out there and keep you away from it. See? Yet you can look and sensible enough to look it in the face of it and see it's right, but then turn it down. See? Something. Some kind of an excuse. It's too hot. Legions come against you and say, it's too hot. I'm too tired. I will tomorrow.
Right.
That's one that gets us. I'll serve God tomorrow. Right? One of these days there ain't going to be no tomorrow. It's going to be over. And you're going to be, who's filthy is filthy still, who's righteous, righteous still, and that's it. I will tomorrow. Just some kind of excuse. That's all I do. By rejecting the day of visitation, it separates you from God.
Amen.
God is obligated to every person. I believe that. And we know that people, they hear from God. And all he has to do is pass by you one time and say, you know you should repent, sir. When you're a little child and you lie, and he comes by and says, you know you shouldn't do that, and you reject it, you're rejecting your visitation. God is gracious, though. If you're a son, he'll keep coming right back. You try to run. I don't dare you, but you better get ready. If you're a son of God and you're running from God, hard time's coming. I was there. I know what it's like to live in condemnation. It's the worst, most miserable time of my life is when I was a hypocrite. Nothing compares to that. Nothing. And the worst times of my life now is when I'm being hypocritical. When I find myself making a mistake and not going back to Christ, trying to work it back up again. Trying to appease it or something like that. No, overcome it.
Amen.
Amen. I got to find a place to stop. I got too much for tonight. Let's finish on this. Philippians 2. Go ahead and turn there with me, please. Philippians 2. I'm going to have to do a part 2 of part 1, but that's all right. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did Paul say before? We have the mind of Christ. Now, I want to emphasize that first word. The first word is let, which means you have the power to not let it come into you. You can choose to lead on your own mind. You can choose your own understanding, but you have to let the mind of God come in you. How do you know it's the mind of God, brother? It'll agree with the word every time. Christ will not do anything contrary to his word. So if you get a thought that you know lines up with that word, will your flesh want to do it? Never. Never will it want to do it. You have to bring it under subjection. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's a tough one to swallow, isn't it? It said, let this mind be in you that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Kind of gives you a little identification there, doesn't it? Christ was God made flesh, and he identified that I am God in a form, in a different manifestation of God. He was the Father, became the Son. He identified with that because he was the Word. He had to identify the Word. John 1:1, the Word was God. And what do we do when we take on the mind of Christ? We have to become the same word that he is.
Amen.
You're a different attribute. My dad's a different attribute of God than I am. Just as much as the Father would be a different attribute of the Son. But we're not talking different people. They're all one person. That's one name. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now watch this next verse. But made himself of no reputation, but took on himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So though he knew, I am God made flesh, what was the thought he took right after that? I'm going to wash my disciples' feet. This dirty, rotten sinner that I had to just rebuke Satan right out of him to his face, I'm going to get down and wash his feet.
Amen.
And we think that's something now. How about you go back then when they didn't walk with shoes? They walked through the mud pits and had to go through manure to get place to place. And then you get down and wash his feet. That was the worst job there was. It'd be like the garbage man that there ain't no bags. You just got to go pick it up. You got to scoop all baby diapers, women's stuff, all that nasty yuck. And you got to go out there and grab it. That's the way he approached it, knowing who he was. So you claim to be the bride of Christ and you walk around like you're something special, that ain't the way to be. There needs to be a hidden confidence. That's the law of God, that anything happens, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. God allowed it to happen.
Amen.
There's a purpose in it. That's perfect faith. That's what the law of God is. Let's go ahead and stand. I'll have to finish this another time. First sermon I didn't get done. That's all right. I believe it's done in God's mind, though. No? That's all he wanted to say. That's all we need to hear.
That's right.
Amen. The two laws within the believer. The law of the flesh. The law of the spirit. I think I had a song I wanted to sing. Now, if you don't know you got that law of the spirit, we'll pray with you this morning or tonight. We can take care of that now. But you as a Christian, you have access to God. You don't need a mediator. You don't need a preacher.
That's right.
You can get right to God just by talking to Him.
Amen.
Amen. What song did I want? So glad I'm yours. 145. So glad I'm yours, Lord. Be flat. How many is glad you're the Lord's this night? Amen. I know I am. Let's sing that together now. Let's give God praise for the word. Let him just water it now. Let him give you that faith that you need to receive it. That we are going to yield to the law of God.
Yes.
Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad you're moved.
Oh, are you happy tonight? Hallelujah, Lord.
Has followed me. So glad.
Oh, did he find you in sin and brought you out? Hallelujah, Lord.
And you set me free. I'm so glad I'm yours, Lord.
Give him praise now. If you're glad, you should be able to sing about it. Praise his name. Hallelujah.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy.
Yes, Lord. Oh, just follow me.
Follow me. I'm so glad.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And you set me free. I'm so glad I'm yours, Lord.
One more time with all your heart now. Give him praise tonight.
So